Dexter has never been a real partygoer. Large gatherings of people generally make me feel quite grateful that I am not ruled by human impulse. But never before had I seen a more compelling example of all that is wrong with trying to have fun with others. And even Deborah stopped dead for a moment in a vain attempt to take it all in. Through a thick haze of incense, we could see that the room was packed with people, almost all apparently under the age of 30, and all dressed in black. They were writhing back and forth across the floor to the beat of that horrible noise, their faces twisted into expressions of glazed delirium, and as the black light strobed, it lit up the sharpened fangs that many of them had so that their teeth glowed weirdly. Off to my right was a raised platform, and standing in the middle of it, rotating slowly on two facing turntables, were two women. They both had long dark hair and very pale skin that turned almost greenish in the flickering lights that played over them. They wore sleek black dresses that looked painted on, with high collars that completely covered their necks, and a front that opened up in a diamond-shaped cutout to show the area between their breasts. They stood very close together, and as they turned around past each other, their faces would touch gently, and they would brush their fingertips lightly over each other. Along the side of the room, three thick velvet curtains hung down, and as I looked, one of them slid open to reveal an alcove containing an older man dressed all in black. He held a young woman by the arm and wiped at his mouth with his other hand. For a moment, a flash of the lights glistened off something on the woman's bared shoulder, and a small voice whispered to me that this was blood. But the woman smiled at the man and leaned her head on his arm, and he led her out of the alcove and back onto the dance floor. They vanished into the crowd. At the far end of the room was a giant fountain. A darkish liquid burbled up from it, lit from underneath with a colored light that pulsed and faded from one color to the next in time to the relentless drumbeat. And standing behind the fountain and lit from below with a terribly theatrical blue light was none other than Bobby Acosta. He held up a huge two-handed golden goblet with an enormous red gem on the front, and he poured from it into every cup raised up by the passing dancers. He was smiling a little too hard, obviously showing off his expensive pointed crowns from Dr. Lanoff. And as he raised the goblet high above his head and looked happily around the room, his eyes fell on Deborah and he froze, which, unfortunately, made whatever was in the goblet slop out onto his head and roll down into his eyes. Several of the partiers held their cups up imperiously and bounced in place, but Bobby just stared at Deborah and then dropped the goblet and ran into a back hallway. Deborah said, "Motherfucker!" and lurched forward onto the crowded dance floor, and I had no choice but to follow into the madly twisting herd. The dancers were moving in one direction in a tightly packed mass, and Deborah was trying to cut straight across them to get to the hallway where Bobby Acosta had disappeared. Hands clutched at us, and one slender hand with black painted fingernails held a cup up to my face and sloshed something onto my shirt front. I looked down the arm and saw it belonged to a svelte young woman wearing a t-shirt that said Team Edward. She licked her black painted lips at me, and then I was bumped hard from behind and I turned toward my sister. A large and vacuous-looking guy wearing a cape and no shirt grabbed at Deb's and tried to pull her shirt open. She slowed down just long enough to plant her feet and throw a perfect right cross at the guy's jaw, and he went down. Several people nearby shouted happily and began to push harder, and the rest of the crowd heard them and turned. And in just an eye blink, they were all pushing toward us and chanting rhythmically, "Hi! Hi! Hi!" or words to that effect. And we were slowly forced backward, back toward the door guarded by Lurch, where we had come in. Deborah struggled, and I could see her lips moving in the right shape for some of her favorite X-rated syllables, but it was no good. We were slowly and inevitably pushed off the dance floor, and as we got close to our original entrance, very strong hands clamped onto our shoulders from behind and pulled us up and out of the room as if we were small children and set us down in the hallway. I turned to face our rescuers and saw two exceptionally large guys, one white and one black, both with enormous, sculpted muscles bulging out of their sleeveless tuxedo shirts. The black man had a long and gleaming ponytail tied back with what looked like a string of human teeth,